Be reading 1 Timothy chapter number 3 and then Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. I don't know of a more fitting message than the message that the Lord has impressed upon our heart this week. And I've been thinking, and I made a statement, I believe it was last Sunday, regarding the fact about that you are essential. Amen. And that the church is essential. And may I say unto you, when the Lord gets done with the church, He's taking us out of here. But until He calls us home, we've got a job to do. And until He takes us out, and the times of the Jacob's trouble begin, and the days of sorrow, and we know that's the tribulation, and understand this, no matter what the false prophets are teaching you or those non-Bible skeptics are teaching you, we are not living in the tribulation. We've not been appointed under wrath. All right? We are the church of the living God. We're the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The tribulation is for the nation of Israel, and we are not in the tribulation. Remember, about a year and a half ago, about 9 months ago, I preached to you on Matthew 24 when the disciples asked the Lord, when shall the end be? And He says, these are some things that are going to happen, but the end is not yet. And He talks about that there'll be wars and rumors of wars and pestilence and nations rising against nations and famines and earthquakes and all of that, and He says, but the end is not yet. And we know this, that we are living in some wicked, evil days. According to Timothy, Paul wrote to the young Timothy, and he said this in 1 Timothy, or 2 Timothy, chapter number 3, at the beginning of this chapter. I'm sorry, you were going to be in 1 Timothy. I'm going to read a verse in 2 Timothy. If I told you 2 Timothy, I'm sorry. But in 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Apostle Paul wrote to the young Timothy, and he said, this know also, that in the last day perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Man, if you can open up your eyes and see that we're not living in these last days. Now understand this, I don't know when the Lord's coming back, but the Bible said this, the Lord even said that to the disciples there in Matthew 24, when they asked about His return, He said, no man knoweth, not even the Son, only the Father. But God has given us a picture of things to come in this Bible that we can look out and see, and we know that the coming of the Lord is nigh. We know that it's closer today than it was yesterday. We know that according to Scripture, that even the Thessalonians, they thought Paul had wrote to them about the coming of the Lord in 1 Thessalonians, but then he had to write to them in 2 Thessalonians and remind them that He hadn't come yet. And so we know that even there in the early days of the church, that they were looking for the coming of the Lord. Now let's look here today at where we are in 1 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 14. The Bible said this in verse 14 of 1 Timothy, these things I write unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached in the world, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Father, thank You, Lord, for this day. Thank You, Lord, for this precious time that You give us this morning. Lord, I pray that it would not be vain. Lord, I pray that it would not be futile. Lord, I pray that God, that Your presence, Lord, would be among us. Lord, I pray that You would take us and use us this morning, Lord, for Your honor and Your glory. I pray that You would help us to see how important the church is, Lord, in these last days. And Lord,
Lord, how essential, Lord, the church is in our lives. And Lord, I love you. And Father, I thank you today for your love for me. In Jesus' name, I humbly pray. Amen. Now, if you have the Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to pick up there in just a moment. But there in 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy, Paul wrote to young Timothy, and he said, made this statement, that thou oughtest to behave, know how thou oughtest to behave in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. Remember that phrase. The pillar and ground of truth. Just let me go ahead and say this morning. The reason that church is essential is because it is the pillar and ground of truth. Remember that. That's why it's essential in our lives today. Now we know this. There's a spirit of deceit and confusion in our world today. You don't know what to believe. It's a man, it doesn't matter where it comes from, what voice it comes out of. It doesn't matter what news outlet it comes out of. You don't know what to believe. You've been misled about so many things. You see this, one man says this, and another man says this, and you see one doctor says this, and another doctor says this, and then you find that this has been unfolded, and there's some manipulation behind this scheme, and some manipulation behind this scheme, and man, there's deceit and confusion in your life, in your heart. You don't know what to believe. You don't know who to trust. You don't know if, man, you don't even know if Trump is good. I mean, when you look at some things that's going on, you don't know if you know what the Democrats are. They've been exposing themselves, but yet they stand up and they lie to you. You've been lied about the virus. You've been lied about the election. You've been lied about what you can do. You've been lied about what you can't do. There's so much deceit that you don't know what to believe today. Let me say this to you. That's not a God. That deceit causes confusion in your life. You're confused. Man, I'm not ridiculing you, and I'm not making light of the situation. You're confused. You don't know, well, should I do this or should I do that? Should I do this? Should I wear the mask? Should I take the vaccine? I know that the virus is real. Should I quit living my life? Should I quit going here? Should I quit going there? What do I do? You're confused. Man, if you've watched any TV, man, in the last 2 weeks, you're so confused about who to vote for in Georgia. Amen. You're confused. Why? Because of the lies and deceit. And that's why the church is important and essential to your life, because the church of the living God is the pillar and ground of truth in the days we live in. It's the pillar and ground of truth. And may I present to you, and may I say unto you this morning, if I'm not preaching the truth, or if I quit preaching the truth, throw me out on my head and get you a man of God in here that will preach the truth unto you, because you need the truth in these last days. You got to have the truth if you're going to make it. Understand this. Jesus said this there of the Pharisees. He said, you have of your father the devil, and you lust your father, he will do. He was a murderer and a liar from the beginning. And when he speaketh a lie, for there is no truth in him. You realize today that what you and I are seeing come to play, and what you and I are seeing come to reality, is that we are in a spiritual warfare like we've never seen before. This is a spiritual battle. It's not a battle of patriotism. It's not a battle of Republicans and Democrats. I'm beloved, it's a spiritual battle. And understand this, what's happening is exactly what the Lord had said, and that is why the church house is essential to your life. Because it's the pillar and ground of truth. The lying and the fusion, confusion. The Bible said this, 1 Corinthians 14:33. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the church of His saints. Well, I don't have no peace. Well, it's not from God. Right. That confusion's coming from the enemy. God's not the author of confusion. You get in the Word of God and you begin to seek out and you begin to study the truth. Understand this, you'll have peace come into your heart even in these days you're not sure what's going on.
But notice this, John 16:13, Jesus said this, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." Now understand this, all the prophecies that we need, all the revelations that we need is in this unexpired Word of God that we have in our hand. That's all we've got. That's all we need. But understand this, the Spirit of God will give you revelation of the Word of God and give you understanding of the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God in these days. Well, I don't know what to believe. Get your Bible out and start reading. Just quit listening to the media. Quit listening to what this one has to say. Quit listening to what that one has to say. Get your Bible out and start reading it and ask the Holy Ghost of God to give you some direction in your heart and direction in your life and to enlighten you to the things of the Scripture, this living Word of God and that's alive and well, this preserved Word of God that we have. May I say unto you, He will guide you into all truth. So why should I come to church? Why is church essential? Why should we gather ourselves together? Because it's the pillar and ground of truth. I'll be honest with you, this morning it was, and I knew what I was going to preach. And man, I'll be honest with you, it seems like the last month, every Sunday morning, something has happened. Sunday morning before last, 2 weeks ago, man, my power went off. Man, I saved my notes on my computer before I go to bed every Saturday night, but I didn't print them off. And I woke up and the power was off. Man, can you preach without notes? You better believe it, but you like me preaching with notes. Last Sunday morning, we come out of the house. We were all rushed because it was Sunday morning after Christmas. We had to be in North Carolina Sunday afternoon, so we was loading the car, putting Christmas gifts in the car, and getting a change of clothes so we could leave after church. Walked around the end of the carport, and there's a flat tire on the car. You're like, okay. This morning, I got up, man, I got me some green tea. I can't drink coffee because it gives me heartburn, so I got me some green tea, and I was sitting down reading it, flipped my light on in my study, went in there and turned my computer on, and my help called and said, "Nathan, I need you to come over here. I've been over here for an hour and a half trying to fix this thing, and I can't help it. I got to have you here." So here I go, marching out the door. Last night, you know what I did before I went to bed, though? I printed my notes off. 9:40, I come flying back into the carport and I scooped me a thing of oatmeal down and hopped in the shower and come out. And it would have been, and I was calling everybody because I wanted to let everybody know, not hide from nobody anything and not practice what we preach, okay? And man, that all caused all kind of confusion. Man, I should have never called nobody. I had 19 phone calls in 10 minutes. And here I am trying to eat, and I'm trying to get in the shower, and so I sent out another, and I don't even know that it went through. And I'm like, "Lord, I'm going to church this morning." I said, "I'm going to church today because I need to get to the house of God today. I'm going to church." Why? Because let's look in Hebrews chapter number 10. Why is church essential in our lives? Why is the church essential? We know that it's the pillar and ground of truth. Hebrews chapter number 10. Let us look in verse number 22. The Bible said, "And let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast," I'm in verse 23, "let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see what? The day approaching." Now, we understand this. We know that the day of the Lord is near. We know that there's the time of the day of Jacob's trouble and the time of the day of the Lord. And we know that there's also, we're near to the coming of the Lord.
And Paul is writing here into the Hebrews, and he says, forsake not the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some is, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. As the day gets nearer, as time is drawing to an end, understand this, he was writing to them and telling them that the church was important to their lives. The church is important to your life. I know the world is telling you not to come. I know the temptation is hard. Man, you're being tempted to forsake the house of God. It's so easy to watch by Facebook. It's so easy, as I said this morning, because of the trials of life that you face, to say, okay, I'm not going today. It's so easy to have the fear of the virus, and I understand the fear, and I'm not being derogatory to anybody who has taken the extra precautions because of the status of their health. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is this, we're so tempted within to not come to the house of God. And then we have temptation on the outside. Well, you ought not be going to church. I had a lady attack me on Facebook because we was having church. You mean y'all are having church? I said, yes, ma'am, we are. Won't you come join us? I mean, we're being attacked. The government is saying, maybe thank God not in our state, but in other states, the government is saying that you can't operate at the church house. We're being attacked on every side when the church is essential to our lives. And beloved, in this year of coming up of 2021, you need to make the decision that church is going to be essential to your life. That's my challenge to you this morning. Is that I'm going to stay with the church. I'm going to stay with the church, and I'm going to give you some reasons why you need to stay with the church. Now understand this. If we have to meet in the parking lot and sit in our cars due to the virus, that's what we'll do. If I get the virus, I'm not coming. I'll do my best to Facebook Live. And I've even thought about this of putting it on the screen and letting you come to the house of God. Why? Because you're assembling yourselves together. What is the importance of assembly? Let me share with you some things this morning, the importance of assembly. First of all, I want you to notice this. And I know, look, let's go back and I'm going to take this in context this morning. But I want you to read in verse 19, he's talking about having the privilege of going into the holiest of holies through prayer. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And may I say unto you, prayer warriors, that is a great verse to memorize. Because always you don't feel like praying. I want y'all to listen to me. Always you don't feel like praying. And always you don't feel like you're getting through. Man, I come to the Lord, and that's my verses right there. I said, Lord, I'm not coming on my own righteousness or on my own merit. But Lord, I'm coming by a new and living way, which you've consecrated for me through the veil, that is to say, your flesh and the blood, Lord of the covenant. Lord, that's how I approach you today. Lord, I'm drawing near in full assurance, knowing that you hear and answer my prayers because I'm one of your children. Hey, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't always feel like praying. I pray the Word of God. But notice here this morning. And having a high priest over the house of God. Notice he's talking about there. He's referring back to the tabernacle. Okay. But remember down here at the end, he's telling us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Assembling what? At the house of God. Okay? This is not the tabernacle into the wilderness. This is the local church. He's talking about, there's twofold meaning here, okay? Understand that. He's talking about here, drawing near, having a high priest over the house of God, Jesus Christ, that you and I have the privilege of going to the holies of holies in heaven through him. But now let's look here. Let's apply this to the church house. Look at verse 22. How should we come to church? Well, first of all, we ought to come to the house of God cleaned up. Are you listening to me? Cleaned up.
What does he say in verse 22?
Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. You know, you ought not to wait to get the house of God to clean up. You ought to come cleaned up. So often in our lives, we put all the effort on the outside. And man, thank God I took a bath this morning. And thank God I cleaned up before I got to the house of God. Because man, I had chicken house dust and I smelled like a chicken house. And beloved, but the bad thing about it is, most of us clean up the outside, inside, or the outside, but we do nothing about the inside. And we walk out of the house of God and we say, well, man, service was a bust this morning, wasn't it? I didn't get what I needed. Well, I'm telling you, it's essential for you to clean up when you come to the house of God. It's more essential for you to clean the inside than it is the outside. Man, we're coming to draw near to God. Why? Because we're seeing the day approaching. We're coming to draw near unto God because we need to hear from God. We need to bear our heart to Him. And this is the house of God. This is the local assembly for our community. And we ought to be cleaned up when we come into the house of God. You know why I wear a suit on Sunday morning to the house of God? It's not because I'm a pastor, but it's because I'm coming to the house of God. I'm working on cleaning up the inside, but when I come to the house of God, I want to have my best on. But I just don't want to have my best on the outside. I want to have my best on the inside. I want to be clean. I want to be able to have, if God comes by and blows by, man, I want to be able to know in my spirit to bear witness with His spirit. I'm beloved. I want to be right with God when I get to the house of God. And I'm telling you, in these last days, we need to clean up. We need to clean up. Church is essential. You need to clean up. But thank God when you get here, if you ain't clean, aren't you glad the Holy Ghost will clean you up? Amen. Man, aren't you glad for grace? And aren't you glad for mercy in your life? But he said, let us draw near the true hearts in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. May I say unto you, may God help us to clean up when we come. That's not my message, but the importance of the essentials of the house of God. Why do I need to come to church? What is essential about us gathering together in these last days? Let me share with you three things this morning and I'll be done right quick. First of all, I want you to understand this. Coming to the house of God shores up your profession. Look in verse number 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. That word hold fast means to have a hold of, to possess, to retain, to keep in memory. He says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Matthew Henry said this, to embrace all truths and ways of the gospel, for the enemy will try to take away our assurance, our hope, and our comfort. How many of you feel alone throughout the week? Feel like you're fighting the battle all alone. There's nobody else in the battle trenches with you. And you begin to wonder, man, does anybody care? Man, am I living? And I'm just going to go ahead and be transparent with you. Man, am I on the right road? Man, am I really saved? But then when you get to the house of God and you get around other believers, what does it do? He says He let us hold fast our profession. Understand this, it shores up your profession. It lets you know that you're not alone, that there's other in the world that's walking along with you. It shores up your profession. And when you walk out of the house of God, you're ready to go tell, and you're more excited about going believing out in this world because you realize that, hey, maybe I have struggled this week. But there was Brother Wesley with a smile on. And there was Miss Fanny with a smile on. And there was Miss Joan and Miss Evelyn singing, and how it spoke to my heart. He shored up my profession of faith, and it allowed me to hold fast under that testimony and that profession that I had made that Jesus Christ was my Lord and Savior. Church is essential because it shores up your profession. It gives you strength to go on. It shores it up. Hey, it's not because we're faithful, but because He's faithful. Because what is it saying? Because faithful is He that promised. That's why I need the church. May I say unto you this morning, and let me just go ahead and get this out. Understand,
The reason the church is essential, number one, it was purchased by Christ. Number two, according to Matthew 16:16-18, it's going to be built by Christ. According to the Scripture, it's the bride of Christ.
Amen.
And it's going to be raptured by Christ.
Yes.
So you know what? I think I'll just stay with the church. The church may not be essential to the Democrats. The church may not be essential to the Republicans. But blessed be the name of God, the church is essential to Christians in their lives.
Amen.
And I think I'll just stay with the church. Why? Because He bought it. He's protecting it. Understand this, it's not the organization, it's the organism. And I know they say, well, it's not the building, but the people. I understand that. We're the body of Christ. We're the bride of Christ. But may I say unto you, God has ordained the local church and blessed the local church. And may I say unto you this morning, if you're not sick and you're listening by Facebook, you ought to be in church this morning. The local church. The assembly of yourselves together. You can't assemble in your living room, in my living room. And I mean, we can say that. Let me ask you this, those of you who have watched service by live stream. As soon as the message was over, what did it do for you? Did you get the same out of it as you do when you come to church? You know why? Because He says, forsaken not the assembly of yourselves together. Because the assembly of yourselves together shores up your profession. Not only does it shore up your profession, but I want you to see this. And let us consider, verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not only does it shore up, but it stirs you up. It says that we ought to provoke one another to good works. Unto love. Is that not what He said? Look in verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Now understand this. Sometimes my preaching, and it ought to, if it ain't, man, I'm missing the mark. But my preaching ought to stir you up into good works. But sometimes the testimony from you stirs me up unto good words. And sometimes the word that you tell me as you go out the door and you say, preacher, thank you for preaching. God really used that in my life. Understand, it stirs me up. It causes me to want to be a better preacher. It causes me to want to study more. It causes me to want to pray more. It stirs me up. But at the same time, may I say unto you, not just you, but understand this, when you sing, it stirs me up. Man, how many times have you been down and out and you've been thinking about quitting? And somebody, the Lord used somebody to stir you up. And you said, I think I'll just keep going. I think I'll go share the love of God one more time this week. Or you hear somebody talking about handing out a tract and what they did, and also you get convicted because you didn't. That's the same stirring up. You understand that? We're stirred up unto love and the good works. We're provoked. That's why the church is essential. The church is essential because it shores you up, but it also stirs you up. But let me say this to you this morning. If you don't show up, it ain't going to happen. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. He says the church will shore you up. The church will stir you up if you show up.
Amen.
We got to show up. And if it's in the parking lot, show up in the parking lot. But show up. Well, does that mean show up one time a week? No, that means show up when the church house is open. You want to be stirred up? You want your profession of your faith to be stirred up? Or shored up? You want to be stirred up? Do you want to know to be encouraged in these last days when the deceit is going on? Understand that? When the deceit and the spirit of hypocrisy is going around, you don't know what to believe? Get to the house of God. Get to the house of God. The pillar and ground of truth in these last days. And beloved, but we must show up if we're going to be stirred up and show up. I mean stirred up and shored up. Because you know as well as I do that it ain't the same as sitting at home. It's more comfortable. It's less pressure. Okay? Have more time on your hands. It's real easy to sit in the living room, or sit at the computer, have your Bible. Yeah, and every once in a while you get to poke amen, or you pump, if you're watching Facebook, you push your heart. Let me ask you this. Do you dress up? Or are you in your lounge clothes? You just watch because you know that you need to watch? You see the difference that I'm talking about? I listened to a testimony of a missionary, and I started to share it, and I'm afraid somebody would dog me out because it didn't have it wasn't King James. And I'm King James only, you know that. But, you know, I didn't want to just... I thought, well, if I share this, then I'm going to have to spend 3 hours defending myself, so it ain't even worth it. I'll just share the story. Man went to China. There's 22 people there that in his Bible study that he was talking to. He asked him how many people had a Bible. 7 out of the 22 had a Bible. 15 of them had, I believe, if I understood it, had rode over 15 hours on a train to get there. He'd brought like 8 or 9 Bibles with him, and he shared, started handing them out. He handed them to this one lady, handed one to a lady, and he gave the scripture reference, and she took her Bible and handed it to somebody else. And he said, I began to notice as I read my scripture that she was quoting it verbatim. And he said, I asked her, I said, did you memorize that whole book? She said, oh, I've memorized several books. He said, really? He said, Nate, what happens to me if the government comes in and finds me? He said, well, they'll deport you out of the country. They'll send you back home. He says, well, what will happen to you if they come in and they find you? They said, 3 years in prison. And he said, I asked the question of the 22 that was in the room. He said, how many of y'all been in prison? He said, 21 of the 22 raised their hand and said they had been in prison for being found in church. And he said, well, how did you get to know all those scriptures? The lady said, he asked the lady, he said, well, how did you, he said, how did you learn all those scriptures? She said, when I was in prison. And that's when he asked how many others had been in prison. He said, how did you learn it? You're not allowed a Bible. She said, oh no, it's on a piece of paper. He said, well, what do you mean a piece of paper? She says, somebody writes a verse on a piece of paper and passes it around. She says, well, do you get to keep the piece of paper? And she says, no, that's why we memorize it so fast, because we pass it along to the next person, because they may come and take the piece of paper, but they can't take it out of her heart. And I thought, you know, and he went on and he asked this question. He said, is there any way that you would like for me to pray for you? And he said, this was what they said. They said, would you pray that we might have the same privileges at church here as we do in the U.S. He said, no, I won't. He said, because here, he said, majority of you have rode 15 hours on a bus to get here. And he said, in America, they won't drive 15 minutes to get to church. He said, here, he said, you're risking imprisonment to get to the house of God to learn about the things of God. And he said, they won't even get out of bed. And he said, here, you memorizing scripture and putting it in your heart, and you can quote whole chapters and books of the Bible. And he said, we have 3 and 4 Bibles laying around, and Christians in the U.S. are so ignorant to the Word of God today. He said, I'm not going to pray that your church becomes like churches in America. He said, I'm going to pray that churches in America come like your church. May I say unto you, the church is essential to your life. Don't forsake it. If it's not the pillar and ground of truth, and I mean this from the very bottom of my heart, without malice, without arrogance, if I don't preach to you the truth, throw me out on my head and get you a man of God in here that will preach the truth. Because it's essential in these last days for you to have the truth. Church is important in 2021. And if you never hear another message I preach, you remember in 2021, church is essential to your life. I want Miss Evelyn to come to the piano. I know I've preached a little while this morning. Don't forsake the church. He bought it. Hey, I love the church. I'm honest. I love the church. I love God's people. It's not something I have to do. It's something I get to do. It's not somewhere I have to go. It's somewhere I get to go. It's not something that I have to be a part of. It's something that I get to be a part of. I love the church. And I love Him. We're standing all over the house this morning. This altar's open. The Lord spoke to your heart this morning. Remember, church is essential. Stay with the church.